Both the first and second reading of today point to the gospel reading, albeit in different ways. In the first reading, the people's longing for water prepares us to hear the Samaritan woman's longing for water. That would spare her the need to keep returning to the well. In the second reading, Paul's words, "While we were still sinners," provide a setting for Jesus' engaging the woman in conversation while she was still a sinner. The gospel reading itself offers us several lessons. The first is that sin can blind us to the recognition of our sins. Her conversation with Jesus reveals no awareness of her morally wrong situation. It took the voice of Jesus to reveal to the woman the sinful situation of her living. Sin can blind us. The second lesson comes from the town folks who first come to Jesus after hearing the woman's story of her encounter with him. They invited Jesus to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Their interaction with him during those days led them to say to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word. We have heard it for ourselves." A story from Arthur Gordon's marvelous A Touch of Wonder fits well with today's gospel. I was a timid 6-year-old with braces on my legs, a frail, lost, lonely little boy when I first arrived at the farm in Georgia. Had it not been for an extraordinary woman, I might have remained that way, crippled all my life. She lived on the farm in a 2-room cabin where her parents had been slaves. To an outsider, she looked like any other black people on the farm in her shapeless gray dress. But to those who knew her, she was a spiritual force whose influence was felt everywhere. She was the first call when there was sickness. She made medicines from roots and herbs, and they seemed to cure just about anything. She had a family of her own, but all the children in the area felt they belonged to her. Her name reflected this. We called her Mama Jean. Mama Jean talked to the Lord often, and we all suspected that when she did, he stopped what he was doing and listened and took appropriate action. Her heart reached out to small, helpless things, so she took particular interest in me from the start. When I was stricken with polio at the age of 3, I'm sure my parents didn't know what was the matter with me. All they knew was the times were hard, and suddenly they had a crippled child on their hands. They took me to a New York City hospital, left me, and never came back. The people who took me into their foster home had relatives on a Georgia estate, where I was sent in the hope that the warmer climate might help. From a distance, I could feel the presence of Mama Jean. In her quiet way, she looked at me, hurt and crippled. Her sensitive, emotional antennae instantly picked up the loneliness and withdrawal inside of me. Moreover, her marvelous diagnosis sense surveyed the polio damage and decided that regardless of what the doctors might have said, something more ought to be done. She responded. Mama Jean never heard the word atrophy, but she knew that muscles would waste away unless they were used. So every night when her tasks were done, she would come to my room and kneel beside my bed to massage my legs. Sometimes when I would cry out with pain, she would sing old songs or tell me stories. When her treatments were over, she would always talk earnestly to the Lord, explain that what she was doing, she did everything she could, but that she would need help, and she asked him to give her a sign when he was ready. A creek wound through the farm, and Mama Jean, who had never heard of hydrotherapy, said there was strength in running water. She made her grandson carry me down to the sandy bank, where I could splash around pretty well. Slowly I grew taller, but there was little change in my legs. I still needed crutches. I still needed to buckle on clumsy braces. Night after night, Mama Jean continued the massaging and praying. Then one morning, when I was about 12, she told me she had a surprise for me. She led me out into the yard and placed me with my back against an oak tree. She took away my crutches and braces and moved back a dozen paces, told me that the Lord had spoken to her in a dream. He had said the time had come for me to walk. So she looked at me long and softly. "So now," she said at last, "I want you to walk over here to me." My instant reaction was fear. I knew I couldn't walk unaided. I tried. I shrank back against the solid support of the tree. Mama Jean continued to urge me. I burst into tears. I begged. I pleaded. Her voice rose suddenly, no longer gentle and coaxing, but full of power and command. You can walk, boy. The Lord has spoken. Now walk over here. She knelt down and held out her arms, and somehow, impelled by something stronger than fear, I took a faltering step, and another, until I reached Mama Jean and fell into her arms, both of us weeping. It was 2 more years before I could walk normally, but I never used crutches again. There is a sequel to his story. He continues, for a while longer I lived in my twilight world, and then a circus came through town and I left with it. For the next few years I worked with one circus or another. Then one night, one of Mama Jean's tall grandsons knocked on my door. Mama Jean was dying. She wanted to see me. The old cabin was unchanged. Mama Jean lay in bed surrounded by silent watchers. Her frail body covered by a patchwork quilt. Her face in shadow, but I heard her whisper my name. I sat down and touched her hand. For a long time I sat there. And now and then Mama Jean spoke softly. Her mind was clear. She hoped I would remember the things she taught me. Then the old voice spoke, suddenly stronger. Oh, said Mama Jean with surprise and gladness. It's so beautiful. She gave a little contented sigh and died. And then something quite unbelievable happened. In the semi-darkness, her face seemed to glow. No one had touched the lamp. There was no other source of light. But her features, which had been almost invisible, could be seen plainly, and she was smiling. It lasted perhaps 10 seconds. It was most strange, but not at all frightening. I couldn't account for it then, and I can't account for it now. But I saw it. We all saw it. Then it faded and was gone. That happened a long time ago. But I still think of Mama Jean. I remember the first day she looked upon my brokenness and tears. And I'll always remember the main thing she taught me. That nothing is a barrier when love is strong enough. Not age, not race, not sin, not pain. Not life's unfairness, not hurt, death, not anything. This is a modern version of the old story of the thirsty woman at the well in Samaria. One was physically crippled and met a Christ figure in Mama Jean. The other was spiritually thirsty and met Jesus face to face. It happened then. It happened now. Lent is the time for it to happen again. A time to bring our crippledness of sin, our thirst of soul, to Jesus Christ. Let's meet at church Thursday night for the penance service, to meet Jesus and receive his healing touch in our own lives.